Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 114 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and I am joined, as always, by Megan Peters, not Christian Hoffer today. In fact, we upgraded with Mark Deschamps.
Wow. The one time Christian doesn't make it. The one time Christian hasn't made an actual, like, main series episode. Just let's give a nice little toast in the chat, a little RIP for our fallen hero. He will be back.
I mean, he'll be back.
He's not leaving forever.
I have big shoes to fill this week.
Yeah. Anyway, this week we had a bunch of Pokemon news to talk about. This is the show for that. If you like Pokemon, this is the show for you. Whether it's the stuff, the anime, the games, you name it, we're talking about it. And we've got Pokemon Go Fest this weekend. Who's excited? I'm excited.
Yep.
There's a lot. There's a lot to get excited about with this. It's a I am excited for the raids because there is I am missing some, naturally. And, you know, we are fortunate to have such a gracious community that my friends list is full of people always inviting me to stuff. So I appreciate each and every single one of you. What else are you guys looking forward to?
Well, mainly, so this week it'll be an interesting one for me. It's considered a family vacation on my fiance's side of the family. So we're all going up to Pigeon Forge this weekend. Now, luckily,
that's a great place to play.
Yes. And luckily, my future brother-in-law, his name is Sawyer. He is a he's day one Hoffer level Pokemon Go fanatic. I mean, he's intense, like level 40 plus. He is going to be raiding like the entire weekend. And I have never been able to like hang out with him at the same time because he's a recent father. He's very busy. So I'm mainly just excited to be like in his presence to watch his strategy play out because he is one of the best Pogo, you know, strategists I have ever seen when it comes to raids. I mean, he just has it down. So I'm mainly excited for that because I too am missing a lot of, legendary Pokemon. I will say multiple times in the podcast coming forward and in the past that I don't necessarily love raids because I just am very insecure about about the level of my Pokemon.
As someone who is a fairly terrible Pokemon Go player, it's really about just inviting as many people as you can or getting a good invite.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But. Hey, if anyone listening wants to invite me, please hit me up on Twitter.
Megan, you gotta tweet out your code so people can
tweet out my code. Please, please invite me to things. I'm still looking for so many, unfortunately.
which Pikachu are you gonna go with?
Oh man. So I'm personally going with Rockstar.
Yeah, I have to go with
little My Chemical Romance-esque Pikachu. I definitely get the Gerard Way, you know, Bullet for My Lover, like that kind of feel from him. So I'm going with that, which means I'm making my fiance pick Popstar Pikachu, which he's not too happy about, but like it's fine. So
no, that's all right. Mark, what are you looking forward to this weekend? Anything good?
I think I'm definitely going with Rockstar Pikachu. I think that's the choice. I have a 6-year-old daughter who's like super into Pokemon Go now, so I might have to push her towards Popstar Pikachu. I feel like that's the whole reason to get your kid into Pokemon Go, really.
Yeah. Well, I think and the interesting thing too is I think we just got just a couple days ago, Pokemon Go Fest will have another one of those global challenge things for everyone to do. And so it looks like, just looking at some of the details, it looks like a bunch of, you know, the global community is going to have to catch a lot of Pokemon. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we may get asked to catch like 1 million Pokemon. And then if we complete that, then we'll get, you know, double XP and yada, yada, yada. So I think there's a lot there. And so I think if I just like try and outline it all here on the podcast, it's going to sound super crazy. But I will say the other things that we know we're getting for Pokemon Go Fest is we're getting, you know, obviously a costume Pikachu wearing a Meloetta inspired hat, which will be, you know me, I love my Pokemon. I love my Pikachus and hats. I love my Pokemon and hats, but Pikachu and hats especially so. Galarian, Ponyta, and Zigzagoon wearing the same hats will be in one star raids, and Dino is going to be in one star raids. Galarian, Weezing, Hitmontop, and Kranidos will appear in 3-star raids, and any Kirala involved into a Gardevoir will know Synchronoise. So that's great for, I mean, look, Gardevoir is a great raid Pokemon. I've used her quite a bit. And so I think, you know, I'm going to definitely try and do that one. And then it looks like any Vibrava evolved into a Flygon will know Earth Power. So, so good stuff there on the Pokemon Go Fest. I like that. I love when Niantic just like changes the skins a little bit, or not the skins, but like changes like the environment of the game a bit. Like I love when they're just, you know, last year during the different the hell's the word I'm looking for, like each hour basically was a set of Pokemon, but like you'd have like fire like brown leaves, you know, swirling through, and springtime stuff. So I love when that stuff happens. It just adds a little extra flair to the game that keeps you hooked in.
I agree. I like the fireworks this week. I thought that was a nice touch. Yeah.
Fireworks were very, very nice. So that's it. So, you know, for Pokemon Go Fest, we will be streaming. I'll be streaming Pokemon Go Fest. I'm still figuring out a time on when we're going to do that. But it'll probably be sometime in the early afternoon-ish, and we'll go for a couple hours. So if you guys want to hang out in the chat, share, you know, everyone, last time we did, a bunch of people shared their codes and we invited people to a whole bunch of raids, and it was a whole ton of fun. So definitely check out at Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter to make sure you don't miss when we go live, because that's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a good time. All right, next one on the agenda, more Pokemon Go news. It looks like we got a tease for Mega Mewtwo on a piece of artwork for the 5th anniversary for Pokemon Go, which is available. You can see it on comicbook.com. But Mega Mewtwo is in the artwork. And it's been a bit. And so I'm excited because a second tease for Mega Mewtwo. We got a tease at year 4, says Calder 27. Mm-hmm. Oh. They're just stringing it along at this point.
That was Mega Mewtwo X, right? Am I wrong? Was it Mega Mewtwo X or Mega Mewtwo Y?
Yeah.
Okay. It was
Mega Mewtwo X. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cooler looking one.
Cool. Absolutely. Why is it a little weird?
I mean, look, you know, naturally, a lot of people get excited when they see things like this. And I definitely, come on, Niantic, just give it to us. Like what are we waiting for?
I mean, hey.
Maybe we'll get it in Go Fest. I doubt it. But like, how crazy would it be if all of a sudden he just like popped up in a raid? Maybe he'll be one of the global challenge stuff.
I mean, that would be great. I just don't see Niantic doing that on top of everything else that he's trying to accomplish. I would love though to see it, this kind of coming year. But I'd be very surprised if we see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Well, fingers crossed, because it's just another hint. It's one of those things where, like, these aren't even like hints like when they were hinting Rocket, right? Like, because we knew Rocket was coming and it was, you know, right around the corner. This just feels like, I mean, now, especially knowing that they had it in last year's art, now it's just like, oh, here's this Pokemon that everyone wants. And we're just going to put it out there and you're not going to get it.
Yeah. So,
whatever. Anyway, moving on. A fun little bit of trivia popped up over the course of the weekend, in which it was revealed what Pokemon Jazwares, who holds the license for the Pokemon toys, what Pokemon can't be made into toys. Megan, did you know the answer already, or have you read the story?
Did you write the story? I have not read the story.
Okay. I wrote the story.
Mark wrote the story. So Mark already knows.
Mark's coming in and he's like, I got this.
So Megan, if you had to guess in chat, I want to see your guesses. What is the one Pokemon that Jazwares cannot make into a toy?
See, I would say Alakazam because of the whole weird debate over the magician that was like, you stole my identity and turned me into a Pokemon. You know, I would say that. I'm really loving Lipard Pokefan in the chat saying, Geodude, no, please.
Get out of here. So, stop. A+. I do not appreciate it. Roostbane with Jinxes. That's a very, very good guess.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people guessing Jinx. Lipard fan coming in again with Lickitung because that's just the most accurate answer. Yeah, I mean, my first instinct would be to say Alakazam because of the whole Uri Geller.
When I say this, you're going to have a light bulb moment because it's going to make total sense.
It does. It makes absolute sense.
Elekid. Because kids would be sticking Elekid into light sockets and breaking and potentially causing harm to themselves. By doing so, it's like sticking a fork into an outlet. So,
yep.
No Elekids.
Which is interesting because it is a great design.
It's a phenomenal design, especially for like it is probably the only baby Pokemon design I think I like. But
it's better than Igglybuff, let's be real. Yeah.
I mean. In the chat, we have someone who's asking that, you know, it only fits in a U.S. outlet. So are there other regions? Is this Pokemon acceptable?
Like, no.
Can it fit into like UK outlets? But in Japan uses the same outlets as us. Their voltage might be different. I'm curious now. I need to like look into the region specific. Can I even bring them into the U.S.? These are questions.
So this came from, it was a tweet from one of the brand managers at Jazwares, Aaron Margolin. And so he tweeted, you know, it's just like, greatest shame is that we'll never be able to make an Elekid figure because the designers made its horn into AC plugs. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you know, Jeremy Padower, well, one of the founders of Jazwares and Wicked Cool Toys, we've had on the show a few times. And so, you know, after this, I am going to ask him for even more details about this and to see if there are any other Pokemon on that list, because, you know, okay, there are people in the chat going with natural selection. Okay, I get it. Right. But, you know.
You know, for kids, you These know, kids might not realize it.
They don't know any different. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the temptation is there. I can't.
I think you pointed out in your story, though, that there was a Darkwing Duck villain. Megavolt had prongs on his head. And Disney was like, yeah, go ahead, make those toys. That's fine.
But to be fair, that was like 1991. Like, I had that figure.
Safety standards, much lower.
Yeah. I mean, I think the real thing that to do a quick side tangent, because even though Christian Hoffer is not here today on the podcast, he did still make the show notes of what we're discussing today. And he forgot to mention one of the greatest announcements that the Pokemon store announced in the last 7 days. And that is that they have released a Pokemon merchandise line for gardening. that you can buy.
Are you serious?
Yep.
No, she's serious.
Everyone in the chat listening, over quarantine, I became a plant mom. I have so many succulents. I have cacti, I guess, rather. I've become that woman. That is me. That is who I am. They have released like this adorable little potted plant of like Charmander, Bulbasaur. They have little lawn gnomes of Pikachu and like female Pikachu and male Pikachu that kind of look like garden gnomes, which I love garden gnomes. They have like different watering cans based on Pokemon, which have been around for a while. But most importantly, they have a potted, like a planter, of just like a normal little kind of planter, but there's a Diglett next to it, and Pikachu is standing on top of Diglett watering the plant. And I already bought it. My birthday is tomorrow. What else am I going to treat myself with other than a Diglett Pikachu planter? So if you are also a plant mom or plant dad or, you know, plant parent of any sort, please check these things out. They're stupidly cute. Like
I've seen a while ago, there was an oddish one that I think Roose Bane in the chat is mentioning, where it's just like the bulb part of oddish, and then it's got like the dirt, and you can grow like whatever.
It's hard to see. I have a Bulbasaur one somewhere. Yeah, there's like a Bulbasaur one up there, that little white thing on the top shelf. I have a Bulbasaur one that is 3D printed.
It has a
little drainage hole, and it has a succulent in it. That succulent's not doing too great because it's inside at the moment. I will be changing that rather soon.
Isn't that the whole point of succulents? Like you basically ignore them and then they do fine.
Yeah, but they like need a little bit of something. Like normally you have to leave them outside and they do fine. Or you leave them by a window. I have him up there with like Ganondorf and stuff, so he's not doing too great, but he was getting like a little burnt,
are these going to be Japan only, or are these
they're for sale here in the US of A if you are stateside and would like to buy them. I bought one of the Pokemon planter, the Pikachu Oddish one. I wanted to see it in person before I went ahead and ordered a second. And I've already ordered the male Pikachu lawn ornament and the female Pikachu lawn ornament, because I have like a bunch of really nerdy lawn ornaments. Like I have like a fallen at from Star Wars in my lawn. I have a bunch of weird stuff. So as soon as I saw those Pikachus, I was like, it's my birthday. I
stuck one of the Funko Godzillas, the big chunky ones, out in my garden. I love it. It's one of it stands right by the water bird bath that we have, and it's perfect. Every time I look over at it, I go, I just love it so much.
I know.
There's another one we have that's like off, like it's like an off-brand Godzilla one, but he's like eating lawn gnomes.
I've always wanted a lawn gnome like that. I've seen it before on Amazon. Yeah. I was going to get that for my birthday, but then the Pokemon store came in and said, actually, hold up. I understand it is time for you to celebrate the day of your birth, Megan. Let me give you a Pikachu planter instead. And I said, sold. So please, if you haven't looked that out, they are so freaking cute.
Yeah, I'm about to go so broke, because that's one of those things where like my wife has gotten very into gardening and stuff like that. And I always like try and find, there's not a lot of like nerdy gardening stuff out there. And so,
you can find a bunch on Etsy.
Yeah. Etsy has a lot.
Officially licensed kind of like products like you would see, you know, represented by the brand itself. Definitely difficult. So this is one of those rare occasions. So please get on that while they're still in stock.
No. So I think the other thing is that I wanted to bring up is, before we go to break, Ryan Johnston, apparently big Pokemon Go fan. I had no idea. Apparently this was apparently some common knowledge, but he is about to start production on Knives Out 2, and, you know, basically tweeted out a picture from wherever he is, you know, just trying to in Greece. I think he's in Greece, basically, you know, just being like, all right, I'm starting. And the only thing that he, you know, cares about right now is just playing some Pokemon Go, which is which is very funny. So he is level 42, which we learned from the screen cap. And so that, so we know he is a, he cares about playing. So Rian Johnson, for those who don't know, obviously directed Knives Out, which is a great, great movie. Also known as the director of my favorite Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi. And so, but I know that, that opinion can be a bit of a hot take for some folks, but I love it, so I don't care. And, but it's funny, you know, Johnson, you know, he directed, he directed one of the Pokemon Go commercials during, during, you know, the last year with the pandemic and things like that. So like his geek cred, his Pokemon Go cred, it runs deep. So,
so very, very cool. I think this is all leading to the announcement that he will be the one handling, I can only assume, the sequel to Detective Pikachu.
Megan, from your lips to God's ears, that would be...
I know. I mean, we've seen what he could do with Knives Out. Just give me Knives Out with Pokemon. Come on.
Now I want nothing more than this. This would be
amazing. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, a million miles away, this will never happen. But a Knives Out with Pokemon? Oh, man. Knives Out is so good.
We need Daniel Craig, though.
Daniel Craig comes to Rhyme City. Yeah, comes to Rhyme City. Yeah. I mean, he's chatting with everyone. Like, I don't
care. Or you just have Daniel Craig voice a Pikachu, right? Like,
that is the movie we deserve. That is the movie we honestly deserve. Like, at this point, come on. In the chat, look, give me that good prediction juju magic. Let's make this happen.
I'm so mad.
Zenpai pointing out that Megan does have Pokemon prediction magic.
And so I do. I have done well so far.
this may be a thing. So
fingers crossed, man.
All right. Let's take a quick break, 60 seconds, pay for the show. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Pokemon Master Journeys confirmed for Netflix and some brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl stuff that seemed to have gotten people pretty excited. So more on that when we're back in 60.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
All right. As pointed out, the interstitial graphic that we used during the break had the wrong Mega Mewtwo on it. So we'll get that fixed before it goes live. But Megan, let's talk about Master Journeys confirmed coming to Netflix. Let's get what can we expect? Obviously, so where do you think that they said, like, where this is going to pick up? Like, basically, like, do we know what episode is going to start Master Journeys?
So they haven't said it, like, the exact episode number, but I mean, it'll pick up, obviously, you know, with the last episode that we have on Netflix that is dubbed for Pokemon Journeys, the next episode that chronologically has taken place already in Japan, that'll be folded over into the new Pokemon Master's Journey, which is kind of like how they did with Pokemon Sun and Moon when they, you know, basically on Netflix transitioned it with a new, you know, subheader, and it was kind of like the new series of it. So, you know, this part is going to tackle the information about Mew. That's when Pokemon like Charizard and Ash's old friend show up. That's when Iris is going to be there. I mean, these are all the episodes that we have talked about kind of ad nauseum on the podcast that have happened in Japan already, but that we were kind of in a waiting period for Netflix to kind of get on the, you know, the train with this whole thing. So Netflix has confirmed that it has, you know, it hasn't had a lapse in license or anything like that. It is still on the full Pokemon Journeys train. This year, we will be getting those new episodes in English dubbed. I believe they said when it first comes back in a couple months, it's going to come out with a deluge of either 12 episodes, I believe. It's either 10 or 12 episodes that we'll be able to get, and then it's going to be quarterly as usual. So we should get theoretically 4 drops of episodes a year of a substantial amount. So that has all mostly been dubbed basically in English at this point. It's just kind of up to Netflix to disseminate it out. So we will be getting that information finally of the episodes. You guys will be able to watch what I have been talking to you about if you don't have privy access to you know, the Japanese airing itself. Netflix has finally decided to talk about
how many like subheaders did we get for Sun and Moon. Was it just Sun and Moon, and then crap, what the hell was the,
I know, as soon as you asked I totally forgot. Oh, it's Ultra. Someone in the chat. Ultra Beast. I got to look it up. I would just call them Sun and Moon.
Right. Because, but I think there were 3, because wasn't there? Oh, right. That's what it was. It was Ultra Sun. It was Ultra Sun, and then Legends. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I wonder if maybe we get that as well. So like, knowing that Masters may not necessarily be the last of, you know, the journeys or what we get. Like, I wonder if they break it up.
I mean, given the timeline of this showing up and how far ahead Japan is of where Netflix is giving this subheader, I can almost assure you we will have a third subheader at some point. Because Japan is quite a few episodes ahead of the US at this point. Right. Those will all be going under this subheader for Netflix of Pokemon Master's Journey. And we still have more to go before we're going to get, you know, next gen, you know, Arceus or anything like that. So, we have a bit to go. I can almost guarantee we will have a third subheader at this point before we transition into a new series entirely.
Nice. All right. So we got the announcement from Nintendo that we were getting what everyone wanted to believe was the Nintendo Switch Pro is instead just like Nintendo Switch brighter, better screen.
OLED.
So we're getting an OLED model Nintendo Switch. And, you know, for folks who may have been on the fence on a Nintendo Switch, I don't know who those people are. I don't know who left is there. This may be the opportunity. Or look, if someone may have picked up a Switch Lite and wants to make the jump to full console, you know, version of it, this is a great opportunity to do so. But in the announcement, they showed some screenshots and video of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. And of course, the thing that everyone latched onto was it looks better. And I think that for whatever reason, took people by surprise, right? Like, here, we're going to give you this better screen. It's going to look, everything's going to look better. And so the games are going to look better. And so when Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl show up, for whatever reason, Pokemon fans are like, well, it's going to look like crap anyway. And we're like, oh, no, it looks okay. And so I think that, and I remember, obviously, when we first got the news of the two games, everyone was, you know, concerned about what it was going to look. And I think you know, and we mentioned this on the show when it happened, manage your expectations. This stuff is still, the game is not finished. It's not, they will always be making those tweaks and things like that, but it's nice. I mean, look, not going to lie. See, it looked really, really nice. And I don't know if I need another Switch, but if the Switch Pro isn't announced anytime soon, I may have to pick one up.
I like it. I actually like it. It's not a pro. It's not what everybody wanted.
Right.
But it does look really nice. And I mostly play in portable, so I'm pretty tempted on that. I'm not going to lie.
The thing I need to know, though, is how's Fortnite going to look? Because Fortnite on the Switch looks like garbage. And so that's going to be the big deciding factor for me. But I think also, too, right, like the other thing is it's got a new dock, which you can plug directly. You can plug Ethernet directly into it, which for me is a pretty big deal. And so and look, it's a fact of life. Nintendo's online stuff is also not very good. And yet, yes, you can buy the dock separately, which is a great point. But I wonder if people are able to get a better internet connection through and with their Switch, would that embolden the Pokemon Company, Game Freak, etc., to make some of the online play stuff better? I don't think so, because I think for the predominantly people like play their Switch on the go or wherever. Like, I know obviously a lot of families just keep their Switch in the dock. I barely take it out of the dock, but I do know, like, I've got younger nieces and nephews and younger cousins, and that, like, they live on the go with their Switch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can't imagine it's going to be too much, but I mean,
look. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, like, for me, like, one of the first things after I got like my full Switch a long time ago was, like, you know, I got the LAN, the LAN adapter. So I've been able to plug in my Switch dock to my Ethernet hard plug it in, for quite some time.
Wait, is it a third party one or is it a first party one?
I think I got a third party one. I don't know if there's a first party one, but I mean, yeah, you know, it's plugged into my Ethernet. That is how I do, you know, in the living room when I'm wanting to play Switch. And I really tested it this last year with COVID, with, you know, playing Minecraft with friends, playing, you know, Mario Party, the online functionality before they did the huge update, you know, not too long ago. So it was interesting. No, did it make that much of a difference? I mean, not a lot. You know, I definitely wasn't just losing connection, which was nice, but I mean, it had a lot of the same choppy issues as, you know, you would have with just using Wi-Fi without being, you know, hardwired in with a LAN connection. I would love for them to, you know, address some of the online, you know, functionality things that they have with their games. Don't know if that'll happen. In the chat, I saw someone say this, is that, you know, they're not convinced that an OLED screen will fix anything, or, you know, they might already have an adapter. So, you know, having that, you know, adapter port for, you know, your Ethernet is that big of a deal. What is a big deal is I really like the white Joy-Cons.
They're gorgeous. No, I'm totally
really, really, really like those white Joy-Cons, mainly because those, I mean, you can customize Joy-Cons or whatever, but I would just put so many stickers on those Joy-Cons. So I would love to pick those up. I mean, my thing is, if it was going to be a Switch Pro coming out, I was going to obviously go with the Switch Pro, upgrade my Switch after all these years. But if it's going to be a while, I have been so tempted to get a Lite because I play handheld quite frequently and I really like the pink Nintendo Switch Lite. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Here's the other thing, though, too, that there are a lot of people being like, well, do I really need the nicer screen or whatever? And clearly you people have not played your Switch outside, because it's almost impossible to do that. And so with an OLED screen, you will be able to take it outside and play. I took, you know, I made the mistake of like just trying to like bring my Switch out to a park one day and just like want to play. It's impossible. You can't play that. You cannot play that outside unless I am like sitting in shade somewhere or whatever. Like, it was really frustrating. And so that's another reason why, like, if I want to take my Switch on the go, which I would do.
Mm-hmm.
OLED screen, pretty big selling point.
Yeah. Well, what I mean,
from, sorry, go ahead, Megan.
I was just going to say, I mean, if the graphics are something in, I mean, I don't go outside. I burn way too easily. I would just become a lobster. Even if I'm having like SPF 100 plus on, I would just say, like, if graphics are a big thing to you and you haven't gotten like a stay at home thing, then I mean, you might as well. This is basically kind of like the, you know, Nintendo Switch Advance. Like, we got some nicer graphics. We got a couple of, like, you know, not necessary upgrades. I mean, I don't even think Joy-Con drifting has been fixed. If it, who knows?
No, they even said that it's going to be like the same kind of Joy-Con. So,
yeah. So I mean, like, so
someone buying a Switch for the first time, congratulations. Yeah. You get to experience drift like the rest of us.
Exactly. Like, I want those white Joy-Cons, but like, I'm going to go into it knowing that I'm going to experience the frustration of drift before too long. If that's what you're doing, like, if that's what you want, that kind of comfort, I mean, go for it. Especially if you already have a Switch right now. Switches are in very high demand. The resale market, you are going to be able to get a vast majority of your money back for the original Switch. But I'll be curious to see how the OLED version kind of affects that market value of the original Switch with the dock and everything.
Yeah. Well, it's only $50 more. So it's not like it's a huge
not that bad
price jump. It's, you know, the price of another game, basically, to get the better experience. Mm-hmm. I would also imagine too, I mean, like, right, look, I mentioned obviously playing outside and all that, but I would also imagine too, it's probably a really nice experience playing in the dark as well. Like, just the, like those, like, oh, those OLED screens are really nice. Like, just in general, like on phones, you know, television, tablets, etc. So it'll be interesting. I mean, look, this is one of those things where it will just be probably become the new default. And so that'll just be the ones that, you know, that everyone gets. And then if and when we get another Switch, we get another one. And then, you know, that's basically it. But it was very nice and promising to see that Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are getting a bit of a facelift, and the graphics are looking good. So I'm excited for it. I think I will. Another good point on the OLED screen: they drain less battery, which is big. And of course, we forgot to mention Zen Pi. It's got a much better kickstand. Good Lord. Like, I saw that thing and I was like, how did they not launch with this? Because that puny little kickstand on the existing Switch, I cursed at that thing many a times.
Like, well, like, for a second, like, it didn't even register to me because, like, almost immediately after I got my Switch, when it's not in a dock, I have, like, a handheld grip for it because I'm pathetic. But, like, it has a really nice stand on it. And I was like, wait, I can do that right now. And then it took me a second. I have just so deeply realized that my handheld is always on my Switch. I just figured it was a part of the console. I have console.
One of those too with the handles.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, this is the best investment that I've ever made in my entire life. I can actually put games on the back in the back of this thing. It's just like, this was like $20, clips in, and man.
Yeah,
I don't know how anyone
like,
else
one I have has a stand on it. Like, it is so bougie. I love it. I love it so much. It's just my constant. I have to.
I don't know how anyone plays the Switch for long periods of time without something like that.
You get debilitating thumb cramps. That's what happens. Just, I mean, your thumb pad. I mean, like, this area of your thumb hurts so bad. So once I was realizing way back when how much time I was investing into Breath of the Wild and I no longer had functionality of my thumbs, I was like, I gotta get a grip. So if you don't have a grip, 90 out of 10 suggest you get one.
I have one too, and I don't have the one that you guys have, but I broke a Joy-Con by dropping my Switch at one point, and it wouldn't like stay in, like the Joy-Con wouldn't stay in. It would just slide out all the time. So my wife bought me a grip and it was like the best. Like she spent like $15 on it. It's terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're so nice. I put stickers all over mine. I'm a stickers person. So it's a 10 out of 10. If you don't have one, definitely get one.
Yeah. Okay. Time for the Pokemon fact of the week. Normally Christian delivers that. I can take care of it this week. And man, oh man, you're ready for, if you came to A Wild Podcast has appeared for the Pokemon fact of the week. And we're hoping, man, I hope that there is some Pokemon cannibalism type stuff going on. Boy, do we have you today. Today's we're making our way obviously through the Pokedex. And today is Lantern. Which, you know, is a Pokemon that, you know, obviously, you know, evolved from Chinchou, where we know, you know, the kind of fish that it's supposed to take its inspiration from, right? Like those angler fish that are usually much like grosser and like have big mangly teeth. And, you know, I mean, like if you've watched Finding Nemo, you know exactly what we're talking about. And it's terrifying, right? And so today's fact is Lantern apparently has the ability to eat a Starmie in a single gulp. It is the natural predator of Starmie and can paralyze its prey with a flash. And then it swallows its prey in a single gulp.
Love it.
That is
horrifying, but I love it.
That's terrifying. But like, how big are Starmies then? Because isn't Starmie like really big?
I mean,
we've seen Misty's Starmie.
Yeah, but the anime just really doesn't care anything about the size of Pokemon. It really doesn't just care about that.
Now I'm pulling it up. Okay. I'm pulling it up in Bulbapedia right now. Starmie, it says its height is 3 feet 11 inches. 3 feet 7 inches. That's big.
So basically Lantern just like unhinges its jaw and or maybe when it electrocutes Starmie, all of its like little
Starmie like
limbs curl up like a dead spider, and then it becomes like a ball. And Lantern just eats it way.
Because so, and then according to the Pokedex data, Lantern is 3 feet 11 inches. So it's just as big.
Yeah. So Starmie has to somehow like fold into a ball like, when it's electrocuted like a dead spider. There's also, no way unless Starmie's just like, unless Lantern's jaw just unhinges.
Also, how good could a Starmie taste?
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it's got like that gem in the middle of it. So yeah, like, right?
Like, is that like candy?
Do people like,
I don't know. This is deep sea diving. Like, I wonder if they like if the lanterns spit them out, and then people go deep sea diving for Starmie gems,
or if they harvest them the other way because they come out the other end of the Pokemon. I mean, these are things you have to think of. Is that how we get precious gems in the Pokemon universe? They just harvest lantern excrement. Like, I don't want to think that too hard in it. I would also like to point out when you look at the Chinchou, you know, Pokemon data entries. I mean, let's face it, these Pokemon aren't that interesting. Adorable, but not that interesting. Chinchou looks a little freaky, though. But it says that, you know, little bobbles that have the lights and flash. That's obviously how it communicates with other Chinchou and Lantern in the area. But it also uses it to ward off other Chinchou from its territory. And all I can think about is, like, Chinchou at the bottom of the sea, like, snapping at each other about their territory, like, full Broadway musical style. So, apparently, Chinchou and Lantern are more aggressive than we would have ever suspected based on
how seriously, because they look pretty adorable.
Yeah, now I'm like terrified of that Pokemon Snap level under the sea.
Does Chinchou have feet?
Man, look at that, right? Like two tails.
Another week, another conversation about what do Pokemon have feet or not.
But, this is true. I mean, who knows?
I wonder, at this point. I wonder if that means it, like, does it just come up and just like waddle around on the land? That would be pretty interesting. Mafia fish.
Truly though.
But yeah, I mean, look, yeah, obviously they take after anglerfish, and I've seen anglerfish, they can open their jaw pretty big. I haven't seen a 3-foot anglerfish, but like, you know, hey, whatever.
And you just don't expect that kind of functionality from lantern. You'd think, oh, lantern eats like krill, or even you might think lantern just eats vegetation. No, lantern eats Starmie.
He has such innocent eyes.
I know. I guess it's all part of the evolutionary effect, is like you don't suspect it. That you don't, like, if you were a Starmie and you saw a lantern coming at you, you'd be like, oh, it's fine. It's just chill. We're going to be best friends. And then 10 seconds later, you're inside of its digestive tract. Like, that's all I can suspect. I'm upset now. Lantern used to, when I was younger, when I was like 8, 7, I loved Lantern. I drew pictures of Lantern all the time. Thought really? Lantern was super cute. Lantern was so cute. I loved Lantern more than I loved Lapras. That it was so cute. Wow. I always had a lantern on my team. Now I want nothing to do with it. Nothing.
I was looking up the height of Starmie. Staryu. And Staryu is 2 feet 7 inches. So it grows about 1 foot when it evolves. But like, they're heavy though. Starmie? Yeah. Starmie is 176 pounds.
Wow.
So like, how often does Lantern have to eat if it eats a Starmie? Like, I feel like it eats one
every 6 months. You can eat a Starmie and take a nap for 1 week.
Yeah, like, I have no idea how this works. Like, how many does it have to eat?
Maybe all of the weight is in the gem. And so like, that's where all that weight is. And so,
true, that gym really would have to be fairly heavy given the overall size of Starmie in proportion to its 3-foot length. But so like
Starmie 176.
Wait, how much does Lantern weigh?
But I'll tell you in a second. So Staryu gains 100 pounds when it evolves. So let's see Lantern. How much Lantern weighs?
And water stone's heavy.
Yeah. All right. Lantern weighs. Oh, Lantern only weighs 50 pounds.
Okay. This is not possible.
No.
This is not possible. This is yet another thing that the Pokemon Company put forth, thinking, oh, this makes this Pokemon edgy. Did not think it through.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I guess it's kind of like how snakes can eat deer.
For our fans who use the metric system, Lantern is 22.5 kilograms and Starmie is 80 kilograms. So
yeah,
for those listening, now you understand why we're outraged.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of like how like snakes can eat deer in the real world. Like a snake is smaller than a deer in likely size and weight, but like, I don't understand Lantern. I don't understand it.
That's it. Look, this is what happens when you just, when you squint a little bit too hard at the world of Pokemon, which we love. And I love it. It's kind of crazy though. We're like, do the people who write the Pokedex entries, are they so far removed from like everyone else? But even then, like, you would imagine the people writing the Pokedex entries have been writing Pokedex entries for years. And so They've got to know this stuff.
Yeah, like Bruce Bain in the chat just said, so Lantern has to have teeth. But like, I have never recalled seeing that before. Also, in the Pokemon universe, now I'm just really curious because it's that time of the year, like how we have Shark Week. Do they have Sharpedo Week? Does Lantern have a special of it like fighting Starmie? Like, because I'm a big Shark Week person. Is there like Lantern Week? Or is it part of Sharpedo Week? I just have a lot of questions.
I bet teeth have to be horrifying if it's
crunchy. Well, that's it. I mean, like our Lantern just like part of like the, you know, those like deep sea fish that will scare the crap out of you kind of thing, right? Like, what is the like Pokemon world of like, you know, Facebook look like, right? Because you always see them. Like, you won't believe what this fish does. And it's like, yeah, it eats Starmies. So
yeah, that's terrifying. I don't like it. I don't like it anymore. Lantern, I'm scared of you now.
All right. Childhood well, there you ruined. Go. Well, there you go, everyone. There is your Pokemon fact of the week to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. That about does it for this week of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. We thank everyone for listening. And if you're saying, oh man, I really like this show, I would love to find a way to support them. Well, I'm about to tell you the best way to do it. Head on over to iTunes. If you've got iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. And if we read it on the air, when we get back to the office, shirts for everybody, basically. But really, that is the best way to help the show. It just feeds into the algorithm. Like when people go to search for Pokemon podcasts, ours obviously float to the top of those search results, and more and more people can come to the show. Otherwise, you can watch the show live every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and get involved on Twitch, twitch.tv/comicbook. It's a lot of fun. We have a very, very cool, solid crew of people whose names you hear over and over again over these last couple of weeks. They are all welcoming. They will answer your questions. They will banter with you. They will make fun of Christian together with you. All of those things. And like I said, that's really it. Otherwise, if you want to get us get involved outside of when we do the podcast, Twitter is the best way to do it. @PokemonPodCB is the handle for the show. You can find me @JimViscardi everywhere else.
You can find me over on Twitter @MeganPeterCB.
And you can find me at Twitter @MarkDeChamp, Mark with a C.
Boom. There we go, everyone. All right. May the shiny luck be ever in your favor, folks. And we will see you on Twitch this Saturday for Pokemon Go Fest. So make sure you check out our Twitter. I'll put all three of our codes up in a tweet. I'll put the time when we're going to do it. Looking forward to seeing you there. Otherwise, like I said, may the shiny luck be in your favor. Catch all the legendaries this weekend. I have faith in you. Get everything you need. And we'll talk to you again next week. See you later.